Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Afternoons with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. We will have the phone lines open for you all day long if you'd like to jump in on the conversation. Guess what, Andy? I only got a little bit of time left. I don't know if you saw this here. I decided today. Patriots free first hour. What do you think of that?
Okay, let's do it.
Patriots free first hour. They said it couldn't be done. Arcan, you're a madman. How can you go an hour on the air without talking about the Patriots? How can anyone do that?
Starting now.
We're doing it right now. We're doing it right now. That didn't count.
What if there's breaking news?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I don't care.
Keep that
offensive
mind, guys.
I don't care what the news is.
Are you strict enough where we're not even mentioning the name of the team?
Yes.
Okay.
Not even as like a side reference. This is a free. We are free of that team for the first hour.
So are you implementing a punishment?
No.
Okay.
Even if a certain coach who didn't sign his new contract at a new job decided he was actually going to come back to a team that plays down in Foxborough and be the defensive coordinator,
they will have to wait until 3 o'clock to hear.
Okay.
About it.
Or a certain quarterback wants to make his return.
Well, he can't. He's like
already an owner, but it doesn't matter because we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Celtics.
Oh, boy.
And what the hell is wrong with these Boston Celtics?
They suck.
That's what we're talking about. That thing last night was an abomination. I mean, really. That was ridiculous. That's the Toronto Raptors. You beat the Raptors by 50 the other night over Christmas. Like, this was, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, that was, and they did okay in the first quarter. After that, I mean, you're watching Grady Dick hit step back three-pointers in your face. RJ Barrett. This team used to take pride in its defense. I don't recognize that team anymore.
No.
I really don't. Guys are blowing by you. Guys are getting easy layups. Guys are turning the ball over and going back in a fast break the other way. Uncontested. And that was going on all night.
The Porzingis was trying to set a pick for like Drew Holiday, and Drew Holiday threw it, and Porzingis was like, wait, I was setting a pick. Why'd you throw it? And it went right out of bounds. At times, it was borderline embarrassing.
Ugly.
Like, hideous for a team that is... We are, what, 3 months? How far are we into the season? 3 months ago, we were talking about, could this be the greatest team of all time? The greatest Celtics team of all time?
This is halfway through the season. The Celtics have played 40 games. There's 82 games in the season. We are at the halfway point right now.
They're not very good.
No.
Not very good. And I don't know how we got here. And this is, I love these topics because I don't think there's an answer. I don't think there's a, we can speculate. The players are speculating themselves. They're starting to sound like Bruins a little bit, by the way.
They are.
Post-game comments.
The finger pointing's next.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And is it, you know, coaching is involved. Style of play is involved. Fit. Oh, we haven't been together. Oh, it's only been a certain number of minutes, and that sways the measurable. I don't need advanced analytics to tell me, A, they're not very good, and B, they're not very fun to watch. They're not an enjoyable basketball team to watch right now. They're not shooting overly well from three-point land. Your star, your superstar of all superstars, who's supposed to be the face of the NBA potentially right now because he won a title and he's about to take the baton from LeBron, right?
Yep. That's where... Sure.
Scotty Barnes was mocking him.
Yeah.
It's doing the high school clap, I'm going to play defense on you. And Tatum, he showed him, like a high school player, took it to the rim and then was blocked by the front of the rim on a dunk attempt.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
That was ugly.
That was, to me, that was sort of symbolic of who they are right now. They still think they can toy with the mouse, but the mouse is batting the cat around right now. Like, Tatum thought, oh, you're going to get in my face? I'm Jason Tatum. I'm just going to take it down the lane and Oh, that didn't go how I wanted it to.
No.
It's awful right now.
And when they kick it out, they're not hitting their threes like that anymore.
Nothing.
Almost every player's three-point percentage has gone down, except I think it's Porzingis and Pritchard. That's it. Everybody else is tailing off.
Every month, Tatum's has gone down. He's below 30% now.
Yeah.
29% for Jason Tatum. Remember when we put to bed the shooting concerns about Jason Tatum because he, what did he do? He got it lower or didn't get it as low or whatever those, remember those videos making the rounds or whatever he was doing? I'll be honest. It was one of those Vince Wilfork redistributed his weight things. I didn't really see it. I didn't really see how he fixed his shot, but I see the results. There's a scoreboard and there's a stat sheet.
He's back up over 30 for the month, by the way. It's up to 31 now.
Oh, nice.
Because he was 3 for 9 last night, so there you go.
Wow.
By the way, I know why you're going after Jason Tatum early and often.
Because we're
going
to avoid Jaylen Brown.
Because Jaylen Brown looked like he was, I don't know what the hell
wasn't
that
great.
Was. That was, that was the worst game I think I've ever seen him play.
It was probably up there. I don't really keep track of these. They're so few and far between, it's hard to remember them.
Sure.
You know what one really, but there was one time.
He's having a tough month, by the way, Jaylen Brown. We're talking about guys having tough months. He's having a rough one.
Yeah.
He's averaging about 18 points a game this month.
Do you want the spin zone?
Sure.
So the spin zone is, the reason the Celtics suck right now is because Jaylen Brown isn't playing well. You're learning yet again that Jaylen Brown.
I thought
Brown,
Jaylen Brown doesn't ever not play well. It's so few and far between.
No, but he isn't. Yeah. But, and you're learning right now that the straw that stirs the drink, the Eastern Conference MVP, the NBA Finals MVP, is Jaylen Brown. And when he doesn't go well, they don't go well. I don't know if anybody will buy into that, but that's the argument, and I'm sticking to it.
I honestly don't have a huge problem with that argument because I do think this team, without the two of them going, and I didn't think this at the beginning of the year, they started off the year 21-5. Since then, they're 7-7.
Yikes.
In their last 14 games. Yeah, a 500 team for the last, I don't know, month plus. Like, that's not great. That's not any type of stretch anyone was expecting this Celtics team to have this year. And I'm surprised by it. I'm disappointed, obviously. I think everybody is. But that thing last night, getting dog walked in the fourth quarter by Jakob Poeltl and the Toronto Raptors.
He was unbelievable.
Are you serious? He was like Hakeem Olajuwon out there.
He really
was.
Was
unbelievable. Didn't miss a shot.
Nope. No. They, and that's a team. We do need to remind people, that's a team that isn't trying to win, really.
No.
They want flag.
Right.
They're doing whatever the slogan is going to be in Toronto to get flag. Fail for flag.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing right now. And they beat you. They beat you actually pretty handedly. They, from start to finish, they controlled the game.
Yeah.
There was one run. So they went up like, I want to say it was like 13-2 Toronto. Then the Celtics closed it, took a lead. There was a couple runs, like 10-point runs,
yeah,
back and forth, back and forth. But for the most part, that game was played on the Raptors' terms against the Boston Celtics, the greatest basketball team in the history of the NBA,
mm-hmm,
with so many players that our boy Scal, his argument is they're too good.
Yeah.
They're too good. When they're starting fives on the floor, they're bad because they're too good. So Mazzulla has to start playing the, what do they call you? Stay ready crew.
The stay ready crew, right, yes.
Like, what are we talking about here? That makes no sense to me.
Mm.
You're so good that you lose. Is that how that works?
Basically, yeah.
You're so good. Your starters are so good, you should play your backups?
Yes. They're so good that you can't play them. Like, they're too good. And when they're too good, you can't have that. You can't have that happen.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Especially against the Toronto Raptors. And yes, the Celtics only led in this game very briefly. They led at the end of the first quarter, early in the second. They took the lead back in the second, then very briefly again in the third.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, that was it. The Raptors had them at arm's length for almost the entire rest of the game. That's preposterous. That's, I'm sorry. Like, if this wasn't part of a bigger pattern, then I may be able to look at it and say it's a bad night. It's not just a bad night. That was a bad night on Friday against the Kings. That was a bad night against the Pelicans. They got lucky. They won that game. And they've had, mm-hmm, other bad nights other than that going back a couple of weeks now. And it's become a regular thing. And I'm not sure what Joe Mazzulla is doing about it. I'm not sure what these guys are doing about it. I don't know how much urgency there is right now to fix it, because I think these guys still are pretty pleased with themselves despite the results lately. And it's because the rest of the Eastern Conference, outside of Cleveland and maybe the Knicks, aren't really catching up to them yet. So that's, you know, they still have reason to be like, yeah, we're fine. Everything's fine. It's not fine.
And that's the question I asked Scal yesterday that I feel like he talked me in circles and didn't answer. Mazzulla seems like he...
A lot of Scal critique here already in the show.
I didn't think it was his greatest hit yesterday, for being honest.
Your close personal friend,
My good friend Scal, yeah.
Yeah, you two can be hanging out now that you don't have to... The show doesn't get in the way.
We're going to talk so much smack about you when we're hanging out
fine.
Over at the Garden.
I'm not a hoop head like you guys. I'm not a hooper. I'm not watching those late-night West Coast games on NBA TV and all that stuff you guys do.
I'm definitely doing that.
but Mazzulla keeps talking in, I don't want to say positive ways, but like... He says things like, you know, we have to appreciate the journey and it's not going to be easy and that's our responsibility. All these words. Your basketball team's not playing well. And at some point, doesn't he need to do something about it?
Yes.
Like, instead of just observing from afar and sort of putting it in perspective and playing cute videos for Jason Tatum when people are making fun of him. And
yeah, what happened to the psycho? Like, what happened to crazy Joe Mazzulla? You know, like,
do a jujitsu somersault and kick somebody in the face.
Right. We haven't seen crazy Joe Mazzulla since he went after that ref. And that was going after the ref.
Right.
Right? I know you love your guys. I know that you love them all and all that. But you got, right?
Tell them they're getting punked.
Every time, if you're there and in everybody's face when things are going great, it's a little easier to stomach. But you have to be able to face harsh realities right now. And the harsh reality is the Celtics are kind of falling off.
They're a mediocre basketball team that's losing to bad basketball teams.
Yeah.
That's their reality right now, and they can't shoot the three. I will say there were portions of that game, this is a total side entertainment note, where they, I think, realized they couldn't shoot threes anymore, and they started, like, Tatum, I think, at one point did it, posted up, and they almost had, like, an old-school cut to the basket, like a give-and-go, and I was like, this isn't my Celtics. What is this, Princeton? We're running, like, old-school offenses? And I kind of liked it.
The
but
old
it was,
Pete Carril bounce pass offense?
Yes, that's what it was. It was bounce passes, layups, cuts. And I was like, is this what we're doing? But there wasn't enough of it. And I do think some of it goes, we're going to have the same debate. So Jason Tatum is Jason Tatum, correct?
He is.
He's
I cannot argue with that.
Well, you argue with me a lot sometimes.
I can't argue that Jason Tatum is not Jason Tatum. I cannot make that
argument. Is he going to scream at the team?
No.
Okay. Does somebody need to scream at the team, you think, potentially coming up here?
Yeah, I'm just not sure who.
That's my point.
Derek White's not a...
Not the way he played last night.
No, yeah.
Talking about having their worst game of maybe ever, Derek White had a pretty terrible game last
Holiday,
night.
I mean, you know, he's a veteran.
So doesn't it have to be Mazzulla?
Yeah.
I mean, and does he have that in him? You're right. He's supposed to be crazy, wacky, zany, do anything, doesn't care, doesn't give an F kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, he's going to need to do something. Because some button needs to be pushed that isn't being pushed right now with this bad. Human nature is taking. I also think that's getting a little old. I think we're giving them a little too much credit for, they're not really trying.
They're bored.
Human nature. They're bored. No, they're not good right now.
Right.
They're not a really good basketball.
They're not a dynasty yet either. They can get bored.
No.
We're in the middle of a stretch of NBA era where it's a new champion every year.
Right.
You can't get bored. You want to be something special. You want to go out there and separate yourself from these other one-off winners. Then you have to do the work, and they're not doing it.
And that opportunity is still there. That's the other thing. I don't want to say I'm overreacting. This is the regular season. If they win a title, we'll never talk about any of this crap again.
Exactly.
Oh, you finished second in the East, and you were 7-7 in 14 games in January. No one will ever reference
that. Won't matter.
But.
Because that happened before with LeBron's Cavs, with the Heat.
Everybody, sure.
There were times where they didn't win the East, and they had tough stretches, and they rested guys, and, you know, they were like the third seed or something like that. And you were like, well, they're still going to be there in the finals, and they're still going to be going up against Steph and the Warriors, because that's just the way it was. But they didn't always run the table, but you didn't care, because it was... dynasties. It was two dynasties going at each other. You're not a dynasty yet.
And this team, the defense is one thing. You're right about the defense. And that I would put under the umbrella of effort, complacency, human nature. Okay, you didn't want to bring it every night on the defensive end. Okay, I get that. We'll flip that switch when we need to, blah, blah, blah. They're not shooting well. When you shoot, do you half-ass a shot? You know what I mean? Like, if you shoot, I feel like you shoot for it to go in.
I mean, yeah.
So
I know you're not a hoop head, but I think they're all trying to get the ball.
So then how does effort make Tatum and Brown go a combined, like, 7 of 25 on field goals? Are you saying they're not trying to shoot well? I think they're trying to shoot well.
I think they are. Everybody's trying to shoot
well. So
they're
not good right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. They're having bad nights.
But I think offense, there's effort on offense beyond just shooting or not shooting well.
No, I know, but
like,
when you just miss a mid-range jumper...
Did you not try?
Are your legs tired, I guess? Everybody will say that. If you shoot poorly, it's automatically your legs are tired.
Sure.
Sometimes
it's not even that. It's judgment, you know? Did you take a good shot? Did you pass the ball, make the extra pass? Did you shoot with a hand in your face? Did you shoot too early into the shot clock? There's a lot of different reasons. But, yeah, I see what you're saying.
But I just that's a tougher one for me to just chalk up to complacency, sleepwalking through the regular season. That doesn't make you shoot poorly, and they're shooting poorly right now. And that's something that I think you want to nip in the bud, if you can. That's the Tatum thing now, we're saying bad shooting now has, we're going on what, 8 months?
Right.
9 months of bad shooting? That's a pretty big sample size.
I don't know if I'd call it bad shooting, because it's still, as a team, they're around 36%.
So what about
bad.
Tatum, though?
Tatum's falling off, right.
Yeah.
And most of the guys on the team are shooting worse than they did last year. I agree with all that, but that doesn't make it That doesn't mean they're a bad shooting team. Does that make sense?
No, but like, they have to be the best. Their whole theory
not
is
necessarily.
We're the best shooting team.
No, we're the most shooting team. We shoot the most three-pointers, not we shoot the best three-pointers. We shoot the most of them, and that's still where they're
at. That doesn't work.
Well,
you know how I know that?
How do you know?
Because they're 7-7 in their last 14.
Okay.
They're still shooting the most threes.
They're still the third best team in the NBA, though, doing that. And if they start shooting a little bit better, and you just admitted that it could be a.
So they got to shoot better.
Well,
it's about how well you shoot, not how often you shoot. I know that's part of their theory, but if you shoot a lot like they keep doing and don't shoot well enough, you lose.
Okay, but they are middle of the pack in terms of percentage, way ahead in terms of attempts.
Right.
And that's got them the third best record in the NBA. So it's not like it's some failing plan that they have. It's just it's not clicking on all cylinders.
And failing more and more by the game.
It could get worse. I agree with you. It could get worse. But it's not like it's. Then that's the question, I think, if you want to chime in with this. What do you think about Missoula Ball? It's 617-779-7937. Is Missoula Ball still something that you feel good about? I know that there's people who don't like all the three-point shooting. They think it's ruining the NBA and ruining the game and all of that.
Yeah.
And maybe you're right. But just put that aside for a second and let's talk about the Celtics. Is it ruining the Celtics?
No, I wouldn't say it's ruining them. I think that's a tough sell, but I don't know that they always know when to shift gears. Because I do think they can do other things. I heard Terp talking about this. They've shown in spurts over the last multiple years, they can score in other ways.
Right.
They have really versatile players. You know, I think Porzingis is a versatile player. He doesn't have to be jacking up threes. You have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that I think, last night aside, can take it to the rim, can finish, can create their own shots. Like, I think they have other ways other than just jacking up. Some of the guys are three-point shooters, obviously. But, no, I think right now, I'm with Porzingis. I forgot, how exactly did he phrase it? But he was like,
we have no personality.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I feel like there's just.
That was more Drago than
that's Porzingis. Not how he talks.
Not really how he talks. It's a little bit how he talks, but not really.
But that may, that was more Drago than.
I think if he talked like that, he'd solve a problem.
A little more Jokic there, I'd say, probably.
If you die, you die.
Yeah, effort would not be a problem if Kristaps talked like that.
Maybe we could use Drago in a Zinger outfit.
We were killed by the Raptor.
I must break you.
The
you
Raptor.
Shot too much. Like, that would work.
Yeah.
But yes, they're lacking they're lacking it. And you know who I always think has to create it?
Who's that?
The coach. Especially on a team that doesn't have a alpha leader. And we can all agree, you don't have an alpha leader. You just don't. You can get mad at me for saying that, or you can accept it as the truth. It is what it is. Jason Tatum is who he is. He's a great player, but he's not an alpha dog, bulldog, leader, whatever you want. He's not Willie McGinnis.
Right, but they don't need him to be.
Oh, that was close. I just said a name, just for the record.
Ah, yes, right.
I did not say who he played for.
No, I
did.
It's
true. Yep. Let the record show.
Just said a name, that's fine.
Just the name.
That's totally fine. That being said, you know, they didn't need an alpha dog leader last year to win a championship, and they also didn't need Joe Mazzulla to be anything other than what he was last year. It's not. This team has the talent, and they're well-equipped, obviously, to go out there and repeat and go out there and be a dynasty. We all know that. That's why we're disappointed in the way that they're playing right now. But the effort on defense, I think, is not something to just whistle past, because their threes will go in, and you know that they're going to go in. Eventually, they'll start shooting better. Derek White will shoot better. He's a good shooter. Holiday's a very good shooter. Horford, for a big, is a very good shooter. That's the reason why they do this. They have guys who can hit threes all over the roster and all over the floor. So it's not a bad strategy in that regard. But there is something to be said for the fact that a team like Toronto, it was their 10th win of the season last night.
Yeah.
They're 10-31. I mean, they suck.
They're probably mad.
Although they did just beat the Warriors the other day. This is the first time. No, this is the third time they've won consecutive games all year, Toronto. I heard this. If they win their next game, it'll be the first time they won three in a row. And you could be a part of that, Celtics. Isn't that nice?
Then they won't get flagged.
Doesn't that make you feel good? They probably won't either. They're not going to out-suck the Wizards. I mean, that's
probably not.
There's no way.
But
the Wizards are the worst. That's true. But, I doubt it. We'll see. 617-779-7937. They always rig the lottery anyway. They're not sending him to Canada.
I would not.
I'd rather.
They're sending him to Brooklyn.
Right. Yeah, Brooklyn. Who else? I don't even know. New Orleans? New Orleans stinks this year, too. There's Detroit, maybe. Actually, Detroit's gotten better. Detroit's kind of hot right now. But either way, the Celtics are not. Celtics 7-7 over their last 14 games. What do you think about it? 617-779-7937. We will continue with our Celtics conversation also, as promised, here on a Patriots-free first hour. The Boston Bruins, well, they have something to say. How about this? Charlie Jacobs, along with Cam Neely, had some very interesting comments made yesterday. We'll get into those with your phone calls right after Dan Ball gets you caught up on what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Celtics fell to the Toronto Raptors last night, 110-97. The defeat snapped Boston's 10-game winning streak against Toronto. Peyton Pritchard led the Celtics with 20 points coming off the bench. Boston returns home tomorrow night when they host the Orlando Magic. They have a 4-3 record in the month of January so far. In football news, Bill Belichick's first coaching staff at North Carolina continues to come together. Longtime NFL special teams coach Mike Prefer and veteran SEC offensive line coach Will Friend are expected to finalize deals to join Belichick's staff. That being said, reports from this morning claim that there is no fully executed and signed contract between Belichick and UNC at this time. Belichick was announced as North Carolina's head coach on December the 11th. And in NFL news, the city of Cleveland filed a lawsuit against the Browns to prevent the team's planned move to a new domed stadium in Brook Park, Ohio. The city alleges that a Browns move would violate the Modell Law, an Ohio law that placed conditions on how teams can leave their publicly financed facilities. Meanwhile, the NFL playoffs continue this weekend, and WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. On the ice, the Bruins are off until Saturday when they visit the Ottawa Senators. Puck drop is set for 3 p.m. And finally, Bob Uecker, the voice of his hometown Milwaukee Brewers, who after a short playing career earned the moniker Mr. Baseball and honors from the Hall of Fame, has passed away. He was 90 years old. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons with Arkin and Hart coming up right after this.
This is Afternoons with Arkand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Anyways, that was Charlie Jacobs. Speaking out, Cam Neely had some things to say as well. But according to Charlie Jacobs, we're trying to win cups, guys. Going for cups here. Can't get to the cup if you don't make the playoffs. And while they are a playoff team right now, as it currently stands, they are hovering on the brink of not being one. And the way things have gone lately, these last two games notwithstanding, it does seem as though the trend was going in that direction. Now, that was one of two, I thought, maybe controversial is not the right word, but comments that got my antennas up. Cam Neely had the other one, and we'll get to that in just a second. But what do you make of Charlie Jacobs coming out and making these kind of statements?
Well, I think it's necessary. So this was at the Bruins gala, right?
Yes.
Fundraising gala, charitable foundation gala. I mean,
black and gold gala. I think
yeah, black right? and gold. Yeah, yeah. I think it's necessary. I mean, this has been a struggle of a season.
Mm.
A struggle.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
This has been an eye-opener.
Yeah.
As in, whoa, wait a minute. We thought this whole situation was something else.
But in every way.
Yeah.
I would even wrap the Keith Marchand, social media, all that crap into it. It's not dissimilar to another team in town who struggled that I can't say, and then their players started criticizing fans, and like, it's off the rails borderline. Yeah. Now, I know the last couple games,
They've been galvanized by Rich Keefe.
Maybe you've gotten back on the rails, and maybe that's a good thing, but that doesn't
peel
wipe
off
out
sections in the locker room like in Major League, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to see his hairy chest soon and whatever.
See his Rich Keefe is what we're going to see.
Unmentionables.
Oh, yeah.
Boxers?
Briefs.
Briefs.
Mm.
Tidy whities.
Mm.
Or like a floral brief.
Maybe
something like that.
Yeah.
That would Marchand would really enjoy that.
I mean, they all would. Who wouldn't enjoy that?
Probably me. Not that interested.
You're the one brought it up, so.
Well, it's your idea.
All right.
You think they
you took it to the next step.
Taking pieces off of Keefe's unmentionables.
As to what kind of underwear he'd be wearing.
I like details. If stories are going to exist, I want details.
We know you like
the
details.
Stories. But no, this has been a miserable season. And,
yes.
And in miserable seasons like this, I think you look to ownership to somehow have an opinion, have a voice, right? Like, isn't that part of this? Now, he's backing Sweeney and Neely.
Right.
Well, I would always say, for now. I feel like that's always unsaid, but kind of included. They're backing you for now. If the wheels fall, Robert Kraft was probably backing Gerard Mayo for a certain period of time, and then he stopped backing Gerard Mayo and got him backed right out the door.
Did you hear him do the whole owner of another team that we're not talking about right now routine where he's like, I'm a fan. Like, yeah. I'm just like all of you. I'm really a big fan of this team. And
I'm
I
even more frustrated than you are right now.
And
give me a break.
It's like everybody's copying that same.
Well, it's smart.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's working so well with that other team's owner.
But you try to.
The only one who doesn't do that is John Henry. He could care less. He's like, yeah, I don't care about this.
Openly not a fan.
I only care about Stan the Man Musial.
He couldn't tell you what the fans are thinking at any point
in
time.
No idea. Right.
Clueless. Yeah. Out of touch, out of sight, out of mind. The whole thing. But also, it's the smart thing to do is to try to relate to the fan, right? Because you know, if you care,
right?
If you care enough, you know the fans are pissed. And the fans are pissed because you're not as good as you're supposed to be. You're not good. You're not trending in the right direction. In fact, up until lately, you were trending right out the playoffs. And now I wondered how you felt about it, though, because you are an advocate that those two should be on very thin ice, correct?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So you can't like the fact that they had some public support.
It's not so much that they had public support. I was expecting there to be public support because, as Jacob said, for the last 8 years, we've made the playoffs. And you can't make the win the cup if you don't make the playoffs. And in doing that, he kind of revealed his hand. He kind of gave away the game right there, didn't he? Which is, get to the playoffs, and if that's all you do, that's okay. Basically, that's what he's saying. You know, you can't win the cup if you don't make the playoffs. But even if you don't win the cup, just make the playoffs, and that's fine. Like, that's basically what the message that I got from that. And it's the message they've been screaming in our faces for the past decade. More than that, really.
Oh,
I mean, they've been saying this forever. And it's like, okay, we know. And, yeah, playoff revenue is nice, and you want to keep the building lit up and all that. You don't have to worry about that because the Celtics will be in the playoffs forever. But either way, to hear that, it's like, all right, this doesn't really sound like the type of overhaul I was looking for. And in order to go in a new direction, sometimes you got to tear it down and build it back up. And it doesn't sound like Jacobs is willing to do that. But it does sound like Cam Neely may be willing to do that, as Cam Neely talked about the two different paths. Do we have this, Stiz? He talked about the two paths that the Bruins can go down here at the trade deadline.
Sounds like a book A.J. Brown would read on the sideline.
It does.
The two paths.
The two paths. There were footsteps, and then there was one set of footsteps, and it was when you carried me, is what happened. Anyway, here's Cam Neely in the two paths.
What is the appetite for a retool or a step back?
Well, right now, I don't really have that appetite, but like I told our GM and the staff, we have our meetings coming up here in a little bit that, you know, we do have to prepare for two paths. I mean, obviously, the one path is that we're buyers. You know, we feel good about our team, but the other path is, you know, maybe somewhat of a retool, but we're not focusing on that right now. We're focusing on trying to get our team to be in a better place.
Retool. It's the last time they retooled like this. They've been adding it to deadline for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
There hasn't been a retooling that I can even remember.
Is it like 06, 07?
Yeah, you're going
when you brought Savard in?
Yeah, right. Yeah, when Brazier was still playing.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, you're going back a ways.
The Hannu Toivonen years.
Yeah, when they traded Thornton and that type of thing. When they brought in Savard, maybe that's when you consider the last retooling. And there's been years where they missed the playoffs since then, obviously. But it wasn't because they tore it down and started over. It was injuries happened or something happened. And now here we are. They're still a playoff team right now, and it's important to remember that, because that's very important to the Jacobs family. But a retool at the deadline, for Cam Neely to come out and say that, if you retool at the deadline, you're basically punting the season. And Jacobs just said, well, no, it's really important we make the playoffs. That's bold. I'm saying that's a bold thing to do. It's a bold thing to even suggest.
Sure, but so retool and rebuild are not the same, right?
When I hear retool, he said we can either add or we can retool.
Yeah, see, that struck me too, but
that means not add. That means the opposite of add.
Right,
but
does it mean tear down?
Yeah.
Or does it mean, because I started wondering this.
Start trading away some contracts and free up some money and then retool.
A rebuild is trade away for draft picks, trade away
for young prospects. And they need that, by the way. They need both of those things.
A retool for me is more, can we swap contracts? Can we find other potential change of scenery type players? And that's the first thing I thought of, is wondering if, does he mean rebuild, which is sell up? We can't re-sign Marchand. We'll sell him off. Or we'll sell this contract. Like, that's a rebuild.
That's two different things. You're right. Yeah.
But you're also right in that the way he said we're either buyers or retooling. Because I feel like retooling is almost
retooling.
Buying.
You can spin into buying.
Yeah, that's how I
look.
Took
what
it.
We did. Yeah,
yes.
We traded for this guy. Oh yeah,
we're
your
trying
favorite
to
player's
win.
Gone, but we brought in this
we're
guy. That's considered adding, right? You consider that adding.
That's how I looked at it.
Any team would spin that as adding.
So that's how I looked at it.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually bring up rebuilding as much as he two different paths toward
competing for the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's kind of how, that was my read on it.
Interesting stuff. 617-779-7937. Let's go down to the great state of Rhode Island. Jake is in Providence. He has a thought on the Celtics. Hi, Jake.
Hi, how's it going, boys?
Good, Jake. What's up?
I personally think that, although I'm not overly concerned about the Celtics, I do think that the issues lie mainly with JB. And I do see that becoming an issue that can get into the playoffs. The issue I'm seeing is that when JB stops hitting shots and his jumper's not falling, he's not getting the bucket well, he starts trying to take over the game by taking the ball and turning into 2001 JB, where he drives hard, jumps off one foot, throws it into a corner where nobody's there, and then the rest of his game suffers around that. He stops cutting, he stops the off-ball movement, he stops defending, and it changes all of the spacing for the game. But I see the big problem being he just takes over. He takes the ball out of Tatum's hands, and he keeps driving and keeps going. I think if he, you know, the whole mental instability of this team can be pretty scary, especially when it gets to the playoffs, but that's just my thought on the guy.
All right, thanks for the call, Jake. And
that last part was awesome.
Yeah.
The whole mental instability of this team. When they are flowing, they look great, right?
Yeah.
Like, they all fit together, and it works.
They're a wagon when they're
And I would include Mazzulla in that. It's like everything he does works, but I agree with him. I'm actually going to agree with a critique of Jaylen Brown.
Well, you didn't agree with that part of it. You agreed with the part at the end about the team and the mental instability.
No, like, when,
but Jaylen Brown does have a tendency to try and, you know, just slam his way out of this.
Yes.
You know, like when he's in, having a bad game.
When he's not in the flow of the game, he can get really sideways outside the flow of the game.
Jaylen Brown last night, 10 points on 4 of 16 shooting with 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 2 turnovers, which, by the way, for a game that was as ugly as that was, they didn't turn the ball over a lot. It wasn't that sloppy. I was expecting to see, like, oh, they had, like, 20 turnovers.
No.
They only had, like, 9 turnovers. So that's not – it was really just the shooting and the defensive effort is what burned them in that one.
And a lot of shooting. There were multiple possessions where they got, like, 2 or 3 shots.
Mm.
And usually when they do that, miss a shot, but they get an offensive rebound, they make you pay.
Right.
They never made you pay last night, it didn't feel like. They would get an offensive rebound, then miss a shot, get another offensive rebound, miss a shot. Oh, long rebound, breakaway, score for Raptors. It was ugly.
Yeah, ugly, ugly game.
Disgusted, as it's been described on social media by Brian Ferzocco.
Yes, yes, it has. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we return, it is a team that plays in Foxborough free first hour, which means we've got a little Red Sox to tell you about, as John Heyman, continuing to torture us for some reason, thinks that they got a real shot at Vlad Guerrero. He's been trumpeting this for a while, and he said it again yesterday. We'll get into the details next.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
That was John Heyman before angrily slamming the phone down and hanging up, I'm sure. Anyway.
I have trouble listening to him.
Why?
I don't know.
Does he talk like RFK?
Yes.
Junior, yeah.
I was going to say, that same uncomfortable feeling I get listening to RFK.
It's the same kind of shaky voice. It's not as bad. RFK is worse. But
it, like, gives
it's
me
a
feeling in my, like, back.
In your plums?
No, it's in my back. It's, like, not
a
quite my spine.
Feeling in your back.
Not quite my spine. It's just to, like, the edges of my spine. It's
it
strange.
Makes you, like, tense up.
Yeah.
Huh.
Uncomfortable.
Hmm.
And I know I shouldn't. I mean, it's, they can't do anything about it, but.
No. No, it's true.
But I also can't do anything about the way I react.
Right. Yeah. That's just science.
Just open-minded.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, John Heyman.
So Vlad's coming.
The Red Sox are very interested in Vlad Guerrero. Oh, okay. They're interested in him? Do they have the framework of a trade in place or something, or are they just interested in him? Because if they're just interested in him, that means literally less than nothing to
Correct.
Me anymore. There shouldn't be no, and I don't know why he continues to torture Red Sox fans with stuff like this. Interested in Vlad Guerrero? You're interested in Vlad Guerrero? Were you interested in Teoscar Hernandez and Burns and all these other people that have been signed to other teams? I'm sorry. The only thing about this that has me even hanging on a little bit is that you'd have to trade for him. And that doesn't seem like something that they'd run away from, right?
But doesn't he want like a $400 million contract?
He does. So they'll trade for him, and then they'll lowball him, and then they may have to let him go. I don't know. I mean,
great.
Listen, this is the way the Red Sox think. It's not me, okay?
So renting him.
Probably, yeah. And I don't know what it would cost in the trade. Probably cost a lot. Vlad Guerrero's pretty good.
Yes.
Either way, this offseason, as it drags on like this, and I do think that some of these players and agents are getting frustrated here, and that's why you're getting what you got from Rosenthal over the weekend, and you're hearing, you know, Heyman and some of these guys talking about how, you know, it's everything's kind of come to a close here, and this is what these players are wanting, and these teams need to step up, and blah, 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 blah. This whole cycle with Major League Baseball in the offseason has gotten pretty bad. I mean, it's not the first year that we've seen this. The only difference this year is that Soto signed right away, and you got that big signing, the crown jewel of the free agency, you got that out of the way pretty quick. Since then, Burns signed, couple other guys here and there. There's still a ton of guys just sitting out there ready to be had, and teams are balking, and I'm not sure why. And I do think if there's one explanation for it, it's probably something to do with Scott Boras and some of these agents and making demands that maybe these teams aren't ready to do and playing chicken because they've been doing this for years.
Yep.
They'll wait to the end of the offseason. They'll wait to the start of the season. They'll wait till they're a week or two into the season. Forget about spring training. They'll wait for the regular season to start before they actually come to the table and make these deals that they have to make. It's ridiculous, but it's every single year now. And for the Red Sox to not take advantage of that and go out there and get the guys that they want when you're in a period of time where really only three or four teams are out there being aggressive. The Dodgers are being aggressive. A couple other teams are out there really being aggressive. You have a chance to be one of those teams, and they're not taking it.
No, because they look at the back end of it in the hope that they can get Bregman on a reduced contract or a better contract, right, that they're not bidding against anybody, and they'll come crawling back. And I actually thought with Montgomery last year, maybe this would start to go the other direction. Maybe you'd start to have pitfalls and stories of it not working out and the riskiness. I also don't think it's...
It goes back beyond Montgomery.
I know.
Remember that year with Machado and Bryce Harper? And those guys didn't sign for the whole offseason.
I hate it. And it I don't understand why they haven't taken steps to fix it. Mm. There's been talk of it. Remember there was talk it was... If you didn't sign a deal during the winter meetings, you couldn't sign a multi-year deal or something like that. There were these proposals on the table. And I just, do they think they get more elongated buzz out of it or something?
No, I don't think so.
Because you don't. Because I look at the NBA and I look at the NFL, and they do flurries.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that the free agency period starts, Adam Schefter is like, like just tweet after tweet after tweet. This person, like, remember
the NFL dominates when it comes to the offseason.
Remember Rex Ryan was waiting in Bart Scott's driveway at midnight or something?
I do not remember that.
Yeah. He like camped out because at midnight he knocked on his door and was like, we want you in New York. We want to bring you to New York. Like, that is so much better than this crap.
Yeah.
So much better than this crap.
I think the real problem is that the baseball players, their agents are too good. That's it. They ask for too much money. They hold out too long. The owners all go, we can't afford this, or this doesn't make sense for us as a business perspective. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait. And then at the end, they say, all right, God, we got to just sign him. Just go out there and get him. And let's just do this because we can't have this guy not on a team. And that's what happens. And it's been going on for a while now.
I also think you can get away with it more in baseball. Not to be disrespectful of the game and the people that play it, but if you we always talk about if you show up late in the NFL, usually you're hurt and the season sucks. And I think baseball, there's probably a better success rate of arriving late, getting in shape, and my talent will take over by the third week.
It's a longer season. I mean, that's certainly
I'll
part
be fine.
Of it, too. Yeah.
Especially on my 10-year, $400 million contract.
Yeah. We'll get into more Red Sox stuff, as well as Bob Uecker. What a sad story that is. I mean, he had a good run, obviously.
Great run. Wasn't he 90?
90 years old. And
if I live to 90... There will be no sadness in my death.
Definitely. Actually, especially if he had 90 years like he had. I mean, he was
beloved.
A legend. Absolute legend. And the best part of a movie that he played himself in, basically. I mean, it was, I know it was Harry Doyle in the movie, but he played a baseball announcer and absolutely crushed it. And it's just been, everything he's ever done has just been hilarious. Every time I've ever seen him, every story anybody's ever told about him, just 100, batting 1,000.
What was the sitcom he was on? Was it Mr. Belvedere?
Yes.
I used to watch that.
Yeah. He was great on that.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones here. We'll start with Steve in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Well, we're talking about the Bruins. What's his name?
I don't know.
The guy that does the trades.
That would be Don Sweeney.
Get
rid of Sweeney. Okay.
Good Lord.
Well, listen, he was having a little trouble in the beginning there, too.
Not saying he was wrong.
Get rid of that guy that makes the trades. And then trade this guy. Well, what was he going to do it if you get rid of the guy that made the trade?
He was going get rid of. I thought he was going with Rich Keefe at the end of that sentence.
Well, would've been. He may have. You know, we never know that. But yeah. Okay. So there were fire Sweeney chants at the Garden very recently.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I also wouldn't fire him until after the deadline, because if you do want to add, That is one thing he's good at. Like, mm-hmm. Sweeney's good at reading the trade market. He's good at getting deals done. He's good at bringing in talent. Like, that's never been a problem. It's off-season free agent signings. It's drafting. Oh, is it drafting?
Contract re-signings at times. And everybody gets too, a no-movement clause and all that kind of thing. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think they have the appetite for that.
Probably
I don't think
not.
They want to fire Neely, and I feel like if you fire Sweeney, then that's his boy. I don't think that's changing.
Yeah, probably not. But then again, they missed the playoffs. That'll get the attention over Delaware North, I'll tell you that.
Maybe.
Matt's in Rhode Island. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, RJ? Good luck in the night show.
Thank you.
As it relates to that, I am absolutely done. I cannot do this anymore with the Red Sox, so I will not be tuning into any Red Sox games. If I want to see baseball, I'll simply fly down to the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. This thing with Jared Duran is just the last straw for me. I'm not big on the analytics or the statistics, but if you take that WAR stat and see the guys that he's grouped in with, and then on the offseason, you're going to tell this kid that you're going to argue about $500,000. And if I wasn't hallucinating yesterday when I was listening to your show, there's a caller that said they should take the $500,000 and invest in other
In the minor leagues,
yes,
is what they were saying. Man, thanks for the call. And
international spending.
Thanks for the good wishes, even though he said he's not going to listen to any Red Sox games. I appreciate that anyway.
He's lying. Everybody's lying when they
you're
say
listen
that.
To that.
No
you're
one
listen
ever
to these
does
Red
that.
Sox games. That's
no
true.
One ever does that. It's like when I say I'm not going to drink anymore.
Right.
I drink.
And, just make sure you listen to the Christian Arcan Show, which begins on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. 617-779-7937. Yeah, the Duran thing is still pretty infuriating.
And they know the WAR. We heard Sam Kennedy say it. This is one of the best players in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not going to pay him.
We'll be damned if we're going to pay him like even a fraction of that, though. You know, I mean, that's really it. You're not giving him his big extension. Like, this is just another arb year, $4 million, and you're breaking his balls for what?
$500,000.
Honestly, I mean, that's a bizarre thing to do.
It really, that's a great word.
When you have, that's looking a gift horse in the mouth, isn't it, right? When you have a talent like that and you get to keep him around for $4 million, you keep him around for $4 million. You may even throw him an extra million just to be like, hey, you know, good faith here. You had a great season last year. You were a top five outfielder in Major League Baseball, certainly in the American League. Here's a little something for your troubles. Instead, they're busting his butt. Like, what are you doing?
And they're definitely not on the same page
either. No.
When you hear Cora and even Sam Kennedy, it's like, everybody just says, I don't know, Breslow's doing something down there. I'm sure he's got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he had logic behind this very strange decision that none of us knew was coming, and we're happy to talk about it publicly.
I have the concept of a plan. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Paul in East Longmeadow as the non-Foxborough team hour is about to run out. Go ahead, Paul.
I mean, how do we start talking about letting Don Sweeney run this team any more than he already has into the ground?
Because he makes good trades.
And
I mean, that's the only thing. Like,
he doesn't, though, because he sets us back so far. Mm. The Orlov trade, the freaking, what's his name with the no teeth there, 59, Bertuzzi. We didn't get anything back from those guys.
But those were good moves at the time. They played well.
But we got nothing for them. And then on top of it, we blew it in the freaking first round to the Panthers.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. He's the worst GM we've had, period. He's a 0-0-0-0 on the talent evaluator scale. He cannot even scout his own team because Charlie McAvoy, frankly, sucks. Anybody who thinks differently is not watching the right game. He's a turnover machine. He's tough, Mr. Tough Guy when it's convenient. He is not a leader. This is why there's a leadership gap in this team, because the young guys like Pasta and McAvoy, they couldn't lead you to a freaking ice cream stand. They suck as leaders.
That was a good phone call.
That was the upset of the century that he didn't swear.
Yeah, I
thought for sure
I was ready.
Coming.
I was like, I hope you got enough dump ready to go there.
He kept saying frickin'. And like,
oh, yeah, a few times. A few times I thought it was coming. I thought we got a couple bombs getting dropped there. I do think that Sweeney's made good trade. He's right. Like Bertuzzi and Hathaway and Orloff and those guys, he traded for Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm, I mean, a couple years ago. Like, those were all good moves. Like, I don't think those were bad moves. And those guys played well while they were here. The team ended up choking, but then they didn't retain any of them. Then they all just went off into the air. Was it? We got
Taylor
your rental
Hall
for the end of the season.
Was a good addition?
Yeah, Hall was good. I mean, you know, he was not first overall pick good, but he was a good
player
on his team. Yeah. And that was a good trade.
Yes.
He's made a lot of good trade. The Nash trade was a good trade all the way back in 2017 or whenever that was. There's been good trades that he's made. I just, you know, I think that's basically it. He's not a good drafter, and the contract stuff has not been good.
And
so
how can you say he's a 0.0.0 or however he phrased it
in terms of he put together back-to-back teams that won the President's Trophy and was second, and one of them was the greatest of all. Like, you can't say he's a 0 point. Like, has he made mistakes?
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Has there been? I agree.
And the team has to take a lot of crap
but
for their
McAvoy is a perfect
choking
example.
In the first round, too.
He's so overpaid. Mm. Like, that's just the simple reality. I've never really gotten to steal the phrase, the fascination with McAvoy. And he's making, your guys that are making $7-plus million dollars a year, you're not getting return on investment, correct?
No.
Your goalie? Hey, maybe your goalie's turned a corner.
He had a great game recently. I don't know if he's turned the corner yet, but that's he did have a very, very good game against Tampa.
These two back-to-back calls where we had a swear and then just a lot of passion against the Bruins.
Yeah.
That last game was one of their best games of the year.
It's true.
Which is interesting.
And they beat Florida.
Yeah.
Right before that. And they're still talking about maybe retooling at the deadline. So
right
you know,
before that was a really bad stretch.
Was the worst stretch they've had in years. So there you go. All right. The Patriots free first hour is over. When we come back, we'll hear from James White and his thoughts on the offensive coordinator search, which is still going either very slowly or very quietly or both. We'll get into that next.